Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's your three-hour flight deck, Foxtrot. TA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We got a big Friday show for you. It's a Target Demo Friday.
Aw, I love the duh.
Let us know where you're at as you listen to the show. Let us know how you're listening to the show. Let us know what you're doing as you're listening to the show. We'll read through those coming up later on in the program in hour number three, Target Demo Friday. That'll be both on Twitter, hit me up, or on Facebook. Twitter is DA on CBS is the handle. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDA Show.
I'm on Twitter on Facebook right now.
We unveil number 12, the first of the 12 DAs of Christmas. The 12th most memorable moment of the year comes your way in hour number two. It'll come your way at about 40 minutes past next hour, so make sure you are here. What made number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas? It is here, and these are the best 12 shows of the year because we get to reflect on the idiocy, the ridiculousness, the craziness, the absurdity of the year that was. Also, my tasty top five college football game of the weekend, championship weekend. Also, Mraz's up-the-gut NFL picks in his football food of the week. And Mike Yam, even, from the Pac-12 Networks, good friend of the show. He'll make the case for Utah to make a college football playoff that'll come up in hour number three. Plus, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, Odell maybe wanting out of Cleveland. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Plus the Georgia and LSU matchup tomorrow afternoon from Atlanta in the SEC title game. We'll talk about as well coming up in 15 minutes from now. All of that this morning on the show. But we begin, of course, with last night's Bears-Cowboys game. Hey, I have taken my shots at Mitchell Trubisky. I have laughed. I have guffawed even at just how gruesome he has been at times this season. I have called him unplayable. Trubisky last night was fantastic. And now we have 2 weeks in a row where Trubisky looks like an actual starting quarterback you can win with. Trubisky was good on the ground with his legs, extending plays, getting first downs. He was good with his arm, making a lot of good throws, strong throws, especially in the red zone. His INT in the first quarter was a throw to Nowheresville, and you had no idea why are you throwing it there. It got picked off at the end zone. But other than that, Trubisky was pretty flawless. So I give him credit. And for the Bears, at least a little bit of a bright light on the horizon, thinking that, okay, maybe Trubisky is salvageable here long term. But the bigger story, obviously, is the Cowboys. It has to be the Cowboys because the Cowboys still have a half-game lead in the NFC East. They still lead the division despite having lost three straight games, four of their last five, and being sub-500. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And what I'd like here today is for all of the people that have absolutely no logic or reason in their brain rattling around in their skull to call up today and say, yeah, D.A., I still believe that the Cowboys or the Eagles should be hosting a playoff game against a 13-3 Niners squad. I definitely think that's definitely what the NFL should do. That seems to make a lot of sense. I'd like that today. You watched last night's game? You watched last night's game and then make the argument that that Cowboys team deserves to host a playoff game. You make that argument. I'd like to hear that.
But that's the way the system is.
Well, maybe the system's stupid.
But they win the division.
Well, maybe that's nonsensical. Because that Cowboys team last night, that Cowboys team, you know what that is? That's a quitter. Yep. What we have here is a quitter. We have a Dallas Cowboys team that has up and quit on the season. Clearly, Jason Garrett's getting some amazing effort out of these guys, huh? Clearly, the storm that brews every single day about whether he's going to be fired and Jerry Jones dousing the flame with gasoline. Oh, that's doing wonders for them, huh? After they go the length of the field to score a touchdown, they get completely shut down, and somehow, some way, the offense can't figure it out yet again. And the defense. Whew. The defense. Oh, the defense has now made Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky look like Hall of Famers back-to-back weeks. What we have here is a bunch of quitters. That Patriots game took everything out of them. And now it is just slowly letting the air out of the balloon. But, hey, I guess they deserve to host a playoff game against a 12-4 Niners or Seahawks team, right? That seems fair. Have the Cowboys quit on their coach or the season? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Snap out of the gun. Trubisky and the keeper left for the 15. Inside cut of the 10. 5. End zone. Touchdown Bears. Mitchell Trubisky. With 6 more. And the Bears explode to a 30-14 lead. 23 yards right down Michigan Avenue, baby.
Chicago took it to us. We won't be going anywhere until we win a football game. They played us well enough tonight to deserve to win the football game. We did all of the things that you can do that cause you to lose football games in the game. It's losing, losing, losing. So I'm not trying to be funny here, but the point is that we've got to win a football game.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Cowboys got their ass beat.
Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio, Jerry Jones after the game. I think the team has quit on its coach, not necessarily its season, because I think it knows that the season still has a playoff game in it. I mean, at the very least, they have a regular season playoff game against the Eagles in a couple of weeks, in week 16. We know this, that game, at the very least, is a win and in game. They can be 7-9. But if they beat the Eagles week 16, they're likely headed to the playoffs. So I can't say that the Cowboys have quit on the season because I think that they realize they're still in the playoff hunt. I think, though, the coach has given them no reason to listen to him. None. What you've seen since the New England game is a very obvious out to lunch, disorganized, lifeless, lethargic effort. Is it the play calling? Maybe. Is it that the offensive line is not as dominant as it once was? Maybe. Is it poor tackling? Maybe. Is it poor place kicking? Maybe. But what it all has to do is this Cowboys team never lived up to its potential, and you have to point to the head coach for that. And right now, since the Foxborough game, the Cowboys have looked defeated. They have looked defeated. And that goes to the head coach. But let me say this. Should Jason Garrett get fired? Yeah, of course. And he's going to. But the fact that Jerry Jones creates a never-ending soap opera circus around the team does them no favors. The fact that I'm watching post-game coverage last night and they are waiting with bated breath of when Jerry's going to talk says all you need to know. That there's always an impromptu, quote-unquote, press conference that's not really impromptu because he always speaks. And so you have this guillotine always hanging over the head of the Cowboys. Owner's going to speak. Jerry's going to speak. What's he going to say? Who's he going to throw under the bus? Is he going to be happy? Is he going to be sad? Is he going to be supportive? Is he going to drop the hammer? We never know. And it just adds so much fuel to a raging fire that it never is helpful. And Troy Aikman pointed this out earlier in the week, and that's why I pointed out what Troy said, because I think it's very significant. Everyone's going to bag on Garrett today. Everyone's going to bag on the coaching. Everyone's going to bag on the players, and that's fine. But what Troy said is right, that nothing changes there with ownership of the organization operating this way. And that Jerry undermines the stability in the organization, the messaging, the focus, the determination, the take every day for what it is. He undermines it every single day. Every day. It is the worst way to handle a football franchise is by creating more drama than there needs to be.
The Cowboys got their ass beat.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And that toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. You can get it all. Geico.com.
It's losing, losing, losing.
Yeah, that's what you do a lot. Terry's next up in Texas, listening on 98.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, sir. Yeah, I'll tell you, they're lucky that wasn't a Monday night game because I'd be throwing them straight in the garbage truck for trash Tuesday. Cowboys are garbage, and it's good that they get to prove it every time they play on national television. But what irks me the most is between them and the Patriots, if you close your eyes and listen to the announcers speak about them while they're getting their butts handed to them, you'd think they're a play away from winning the game. It's like fake news. They refuse to believe that these teams might actually suck.
Well, I don't think that the Patriots suck, okay? But I do see what you're saying about always calling it in favor of the Pats or the Cowboys. I think you're right about that. And I talked about this with Tom Brady. The announcers are just resistant to admitting that Brady might be losing some of his fastball. It's always somebody else's fault. It's the offensive line. It's not enough targets. It's wide receivers not getting open, yada, yada, yada. Instead of just saying, well, you know, part of the problem could be Tom himself. They won't do it. But you're right about the Cowboys, and the reason is what you have between those two teams, those two organizations, are two of the most powerful, influential owners in the television negotiations. You have Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones, who, for the most part, are the point people on TV negotiations. So guess what? Broadcasters, their CEOs, their directors, their producers, and their lead announcers have either directly heard from Kraft and Jones about a myriad of things, or their bosses have heard directly from Jerry and Robert, and so it filters down. And I think you're right, man. When can you just say the Cowboys suck? When can you just say this is not a good football team? When is it always, well, they can do this, they can do that, they can turn it around, They've got better talent. They've got better talent than this. They should do this. They should do that. When is it just, you know what? This team sucks. That's all. All needs to be said. They're sub 500. They've been in a crazy skid since week four. They've lost three games in a row. And if they didn't reside in the most putrid division in football, they would have absolutely no hope of going to the playoffs.
The Cowboys got their ass beat.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's keep taking your phone calls on last night's Thursday Nighter. Bears over the Cowboys. Also, let's talk about the college football playoff here coming up. If Georgia pulls the upset, have they stiff-armed, have they Heismaned Utah out of the playoffs? We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
What we're doing.
Sorry about that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's flu season, boys and girls. Stock up on your vitamin C. Keep that immune system high. 24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The 12 DAs of Christmas is finally here. Today is number 12. We begin the countdown in about an hour and 20 minutes from now. And every moment of the 12 DAs will be memorialized, immortalized on YouTube. Cap, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, has the video ready to go and post as soon as we are off the air, so you can follow along on YouTube and our Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDA Show, to watch the videos of the 12 DAs. It's an Ask the Pros Day where you get to pick a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'll answer that question. Just tweet it at me, DA on CBS, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Oh, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys got their ass beat.
Eric is next up in Myrtle Beach, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Eric.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm really pissed off, dude. My Cowboys really suck. I want Jerry Jones to know the first thing is he's got to fire a redheaded clapper. That's the first thing. The other thing, the problem is Troy Aikman's right. Because it's all on Jerry Jones. Because Jerry Jones should learn how to keep his mouth shut, stay up in his damn little booth, and let coaches do the coaching. Did you see Jason Garrett last night not even getting mad? He just sits there and stares at everything. Every single game, that's all he does. It's pathetic. And Jerry wants all the glamour. Jerry needs to learn, keep his mouth shut.
And I can't believe after owning this franchise for 30 years and not being in an NFC Championship game for 25, that Jerry doesn't realize the problems that he creates.
It's not Jerry Jones.
If you had the track record of Jerry right now and you saw, okay, our highlight came in the early 90s when I had ceded football control to Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy was the football guy. I allowed him to pick the players, to draft the players, to build the roster, and to coach. I can't believe Jerry, after 25 years of not having it that way, maybe outside of the Bill Parcells years, when they had built up to being a power again, why you wouldn't realize, you know what, I've got to change course here. And maybe he's done that a little bit by ceding some of the influence in drafting to Stephen Jones. Maybe. But how can you not realize by talking every day, and by misdirecting messages constantly, it only whips the frenzy up even more and detracts from your winning. Now, maybe in Jerry's distorted mind, hey, as long as they're talking about us, that's good because that's his business acumen. They're coming to the stadium. They're buying jerseys. We're on national TV. The valuation of our team is way up. Maybe that's just the only lens he has. But if you are going to work every day and realizing our football team for 25 years has not been a real winner, and one of the constants is I'm talking at every juncture, maybe I should start doing something differently. I'm speculating on players. I'm speculating on contract negotiations. I'm talking about what happens with holdouts. I'm talking about what happened with the draft. I'm talking about what happens with the coaching staff. I'm talking about what happens on Sunday. I'm talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about everything. How could you not realize, you know, I got 25 years of evidence here that maybe I should change a part of this?
That's not Jerry Jones.
It's extraordinary. And I have to say, in some ways, it's sad. You know, I grew up as a fan of the NFL in the 80s, but it really was at the second half of the 80s, and so I wasn't born into the Cowboys were great. Those Cowboys, great teams of the late 60s, throughout the 70s, early 80s. But, of course, by the time they got good again in the 90s, it just felt like this is the way it's supposed to be. Well, they basically had a five-year window there where they were really non-competitive, basically 86 through 89, 90. And then they got really good again, and it just felt like, yeah, this is the way that it's supposed to be. Bob Lilly, Roger Staubach, Too Tall Jones, Drew Pearson, Don Meredith, factors right into Aikman and Emmitt and Irvin and championships. And for 25 years, football fans don't realize the Cowboys used to be great all of the time. From like 66 through 96, that's 30 years. They basically had 5 years bad, 5 years off or so. So for 25 of 30 years, they were Super Bowl contenders. They were one of the four best teams in football for 25 years. For the last 25? I mean, they're one of the 20 best teams on average. They're a bottom half team over the last 25 years. That's crazy. Coming up this weekend, you've got championship weekend that begins tonight, actually. And, of course, everybody in the Pac-12, I think unless you have a real hatred for Utah, perhaps BYU fans that are not in the Pac-12, you are rooting for Utah to win this game big, of course, unless you're an Oregon fan. But your chance at the college football playoff and your chance at some national notoriety and your chance at a little bit of recognition and credibility, because let's face it, the Pac-12 has fallen on some tough times, is Utah wins tonight and wins big. That what you're looking for is Utah to be impressive tonight, to be a really good one-loss candidate for the college football playoff. So I think that there's mostly people rooting for Utah tonight, certainly in the Pac-12. And, you know, Utah could win this game easily and look really good, and I think they are really good. I think their defense is nationally one of the best defenses in football in the nation, perhaps the best. Their ground game, led by Zach Moss, is one of the best in the country. Kyle Whittingham has proven he's an incredible coach and has been for a long time. Utah is deserving of going to the college football playoff. They are, right now, absolutely the second best one-loss team, I believe, in America. I believe they're the second best one-loss team in America. I think they're better than both of the one-loss teams out of the Big 12. But I don't think they're better than Georgia. And I know Georgia's been underwhelming this year, but Georgia has a couple of quality victories that Utah simply doesn't. Now, clearly losing to South Carolina is way worse than losing to USC when you've lost Zach Moss on the day. But Georgia, I believe, is a better one-loss team. The thing is, this will be clean as long as LSU dispatches Georgia, which gives Georgia a second loss, and Georgia's not going to hop any of the one-loss teams. And that's what makes tomorrow even more important than tonight's Pac-12 championship game. If we assume LSU wins, then yes, tonight's very important. But if Georgia wins tomorrow, all bets are off. If Georgia wins tomorrow, you watch. There's going to be hell to pay across the country because that committee is going to put in Georgia and LSU. You watch. They're absolutely going to do it. Because how can you take away LSU's bid if their only loss is to Georgia, who's going to make the playoff? That'd be the best one loss in America. And how are you going to take away Georgia's bid if they're a one-loss SEC champion that just defeated LSU? Georgia is the wild card here. And Georgia is the one team tomorrow that could pull the upset. I don't think Wisconsin can. There's no way Virginia stays within three touchdowns of Clemson. Georgia can beat LSU if LSU has a bad day and Georgia's defense is phenomenal. Georgia's best day tomorrow can win, which would render tonight irrelevant. Utah's not out of the woods, even if they have a great win tonight. They got to make sure LSU beats Georgia tomorrow to eliminate the Bulldogs. When we come back, Odell Beckham being Odell Beckham again. Yawn. Plus two huge games in the NFL, including Patrick Mahomes headed to Foxborough. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
Google. Yahoo. Facebook. Twitter.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Number 12 on the 12 DAs of Christmas, 1 hour away. We begin the countdown. The best 12 episodes of the DA Show all year begin today. The 12 most memorable moments of the DA in 2019.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Comes your way in approximately 1 hour from now. Number 12. And count down along with us every single day and listen to it on podcast, in podcast form. Simply go to cbssportsradio.com. You can click on the show every single day. Also, you can listen to us in podcast form by downloading us on the radio.com app, on Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or any place that podcasts are available. Jake is next up. He's in Arizona listening on Sirius XM channel 206. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, morning, DA. First time caller.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing, man?
First time caller, too. Hey, so I'm calling. So we got to realize this is like probably the third time in the last decade that a team, maybe without a winning record, gone to the playoffs. You got to figure the Seahawks did it in 7-9, pulled the upset to get the Saints.
Yeah.
The Packers won that NFC North at 7-8-1, hosted the game against the Niners. You know, I was thinking about the
Panthers. The Panthers were 7-8-1, I believe.
Yeah. You know, I think
were the Packers as well?
In the same year as the Packers did it.
I'll have to look into that.
And, you know, all these teams have got different schedules. I just believe, man, you take care of business in the division. You'll get to the dance. But division winners, I think they should host. I understand the Cowboys and Eagles are both hammered.
What if I told you about this? What if I said, okay, division winners host a playoff game unless you're under 500? If you're under 500, if you're a losing record, kind of like the bowl system, you can't have a losing record to go to a bowl. At that point, then you got to go on the road for that game.
You know, that's a good point. Cause that way you're not completely, you know, changing the playoff system, which has been in place for how many years. That's the thing with football, too. You know, it seems like, you know, everyone's trying to change things all the time when it's never been an issue. But now in today's day and age, everyone's, you know, has a microscope on everything. But,
Well, remember that this current playoff system is only in place since 2002. It's not like this is the way that it's always been. Remember that the football playoff structure has expanded almost every year throughout history. Once upon a time, in just NFL, AFL days, and even before the AFL, if you wanted to go back to like the 30s and 40s of just the NFL and the 50s, it is an NFL West, an NFL East, basically, and they meet together for the championship game. It then expands because you have the AFL, and so the AFL has an East and a West, the NFL has an East and a West, and the winners of those two games go to the Super Bowl, or the AFL-NFL championship game. So you had a Final Four. Used to be a Final Two, then it was a Final Four. Then we get to NFC-AFC, split to three divisions, and have one wild card. So now you have three division winners, one wild card. So now there's 4-4. Then you get to three divisions and two wild cards so that the winner of the one wild card game plays the best division winner. So now we've gone to five in each conference. Now there is six each conference. It wasn't always this way where sub-500 teams could host playoff games. It's only happened that way because we kept expanding the playoff system. 7-8-1 or 7-9 would never be good enough to win a division when there's only two divisions. It was never good enough to win a division when there was three divisions. It's only been good enough to win a division when there's been four divisions. You've only got four teams in each division. That was never the way it always was. That's why you see now in the current structure since 2002, so many teams with losing records. Not so many, but it happens once every 5 years, basically. And I think at the very least, I think we could agree, if you get a losing record, you don't deserve to host a playoff game. And it's probably going to happen this year with either the Eagles or the Cowboys. Tom is next up. He's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tom.
DA, I'm wondering if you're going to send the pride of the Rumble Ponies, Jacob Wilkins, out to the winter meetings to do some fine reporting for the DA show.
Would you like to hear that, or would you just like to hear the crash and burn again?
I'm into some more DA show moments of history.
Well, Tom, remember where we were last year for the winter meetings. Jacob Wilkins, who had been the voice of the Chicken Challenge here on the DA show and the Wienership Offs, he was looking for a job. And so the baseball winter meetings provide a bit of a job fair for baseball announcers because all the minor league affiliates are there, GMs, etc. And so young broadcasters go there and they beat the bushes. Winter meetings is where they go and they try to get jobs. In fact, once upon a time, I went to the winter meetings. My first year out of school. Graduated in May. Didn't have a job in the winter. I said, I got to go to the baseball winter meetings. Hand out my tapes. Try to become the voice of the Altoona Swerve. You know, that's what you got to do. But one thing led to another. I did not get a job there. I ended up doing sports radio instead, and here we are. For Jacob, his dream was doing play-by-play. So that's part of the reason he was out there. I don't think that's how he got the Binghamton Rumble Ponies job, though. I think that was through back channels because a guy had suddenly retired mid-season to open up a law practice, if I'm not mistaken.
But he did say he made the contact while at the winter meeting.
Oh, okay. All right. So I don't know if Jacob would want to go back to the baseball winter meetings. He has a job. However, there is a bit of a twist here that the Binghamton Rumble Ponies are potentially on the chopping block, that Major League Baseball is trying to downsize the minors, and that the Rumble Ponies could be one of the teams that get downsized, contraction, in which case Jacob would need to find another job with another franchise. So I don't know. That's not going to happen in 2020, Mraz. He'll have a job next year, we know. And even if they were an independent team, maybe they would keep Jacob on to be the play-by-play guy. We need, though, to know whether Jacob wants to go to the winter meetings, because if he does, I think at the very least, he should call in for a report again.
Should he though? That's, you don't want to double down on that disaster.
It was the dark. It was the darkest moment in DA show history.
The worst segment in DA show history. Do we need a round two? Remember, Jacob Wilkins now suddenly taking himself more serious. Suddenly he's too serious for the DA show.
That's fair.
It's just
well, you know, it's a
classic guy forgetting his roots, and that's what's happened with Jacob Wilkins.
Time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Patrick Mahomes gets his chance at the New England Patriots. Again, for the first time since last year's gut-wrenching AFC Championship game.
I mean, obviously, I watched it right after we played them just to kind of see what. I mean, even though we didn't have another game, I wanted to still learn from that game and get as much as I can going into the offseason. And then I watched it again this year. So it was just kind of those two times. And then, I mean, obviously, we have them in cut-ups and stuff like that when we're looking at certain plays or certain breakdowns. But as far as through and through, I think just those two times.
I'm thoroughly intrigued by this matchup, not only because it's a rematch of last year's AFC title game, which was an instant classic, but also how are the Patriots, how is Tom Brady going to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes? Now, the Patriots defense might end up having the solution to slowing down Mahomes, especially at home in Foxborough. You know, there's always some good home cooking there. Scoreboard operators definitely in their pocket, etc. You never know the ghosts of the goblins that come out in Foxborough. And Andy Reid on the road, you don't always trust clearly. And this Patriots defense is very good. And so maybe they're able to hold down the Chiefs. But I can't imagine that the Chiefs' offense scores less than 17 points. I got to imagine at least they score 17. And I really have to wonder what a struggle it's going to be for Brady and this offense to score 17. Now, you think that that shouldn't be that much, two touchdowns and a field goal, but for Tom Brady, doesn't two touchdowns getting into the end zone right now feel like a Herculean effort? Granted, the Chiefs defense might not be so good. And last week, the Houston Texans had some explosive plays. And they had a defense that, with Romeo Crennel, kind of had familiarity with the Patriots. The week before against the Cowboys, you could certainly argue the Cowboys' defense better than the Chiefs' defense. But ultimately, I don't know how Brady and the Patriots can expect to score in the mid to high 20s. And if the game is scored in the 30s, if the Chiefs get to 30, I just don't think there's any way the Patriots win. So this is going to have to be a game played in the low 20s or high teens, I think, for the Patriots to win. And even if it's 23 or 24 points, can Brady put up 23 or 24? I'm very doubtful on that. Odell Beckham will not commit to being in Cleveland long term.
I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, you know. So it's something that, like I said, God has a plan. And in the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
If only Odell realized you're creating your own problems. You might not have meant to keep the door open on leaving in the offseason. You may not have meant to create a hysteria about whether or not you're happy. But you did. Because the easy answer there is, hey, guys, I'm happy to be a Brown. I want to be here long term. That's that. That's all you have to say. But because Odell loved the never-ending speculation on his future and his happiness and where he might go and what his relationship with the offense is and all of this, because he loves that. He doesn't just give you the shut it down. We're not talking about this. I'm happy to be here. No, it's everything else that just fuels the fire. And finally, earlier this morning, Bogish ran a little too long for Pete the Body Bilotti's liking during an update on Taz and the Moose, and listened to Bilotti gently nudge him off air with the music.
In the NFC East, college football tonight is the Pac-12 championship game in Santa Clara, Utah, and Oregon. with the Utes trying to keep themselves in position for a playoff spot. And in the NBA last night, the Rockets won in Toronto, 119-109.
Bilotti played
a mundane 23
it's like
points.
Academy Awards.
I mean,
Bilotti's playing them off. We got to go to break.
But you don't have to go to break.
Bilotti's sweating.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Andrew.
Bilotti just played him off. Wow. Congratulations on being an award winner.
That was unbelievable.
I've never heard another guy get played off by the board op.
So it's my understanding, Mraz, that this was not a hard network out.
I've been told by sources close to the situation that Pete Bilotti makes up his own break times and thus is forcing the issue with Andrew Bogut.
Well, Fat Man, you couldn't be any more wrong.
So it was a network break.
It was not. It was not a hard network break. Pete made it up.
We got to delve into this more coming up here after the break. But also, the biggest weekend in Bills history in 20 years? TA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.